The Great Fraud, Officers and Elected Officials. July 16, 2021, by Justice Anna Vaughn writes, Big Lake, Alaska. There's another confusion that needs to be addressed and appreciated by everyone involved. You know how we call policemen law enforcement officers? There's a reason for that. Officers are not elected. And the LEOs are not elected, either. They are guns for hire, private security personnel, hired by corporations under the Pinkerton laws that first allowed such foreign services to operate in this country. Smack dab in the middle of the Civil War, the Union Pacific Railroad and the Central Pacific Railroad began a big push to construct the first ever transcontinental railroad running clear across this country. They finished the project in 1869. This overland route was promoted as the primary passenger rail service to the West, and as sections of it were completed, it was pressed into service, first from Council Bluffs, Iowa, to Chicago, and then, lap by lap until they reached San Francisco. Passengers weren't the only cargo the Transcontinental Railroad carried. It carried gold payroll shipments for mining companies, government offices, and military operations in the western states. It carried government mail and bonds. It carried passenger valuables, including cash and jewelry, in separate small vaults. It's easy to understand why outlaws considered these trains to be rolling banks, and the same gangs that became famous for robbing banks also robbed trains on a regular basis. While county sheriffs and local deputized civilian deputies struggled to defeat the outlaws on the land and soil, the railroad barons argued, successfully, that a different kind of professional protective force was needed to ride the rails and prevent robbery on the railroads, because railroads by definition exist in interstate jurisdiction, and their easements are international in nature. The robber barons convinced members of Congress that they needed protection for the railroads and the passengers, that international officers were needed, and the London-based Pinkerton Agency was subsequently hired as a private, international security agency. One of the first times we see the use of the word agency related to government affairs, to thwart train robbers. By 1893, the use of the Pinkerton Agency hirelings for other purposes had spread to commercial venues, and in particular, Pinkerton agents were being used as private, mercenary forces to promote strike breaking at coal mines and steel mills. After the infamous Homestead strike and its violent suppression of American workers, Congress passed the Anti-Pinkerton Act, 5 U.S.C. 3108, as part of the Sundry Civil Appropriations Act of 1893. This act limited the United States government's ability to hire private investigators or mercenaries, but this restriction was evaded, most especially by Franklin Delano Roosevelt's administration, by the simple legal farce of enclosing such private agencies as incorporated public agencies. That is, the government acting as a private corporation could hire mercenaries to perform public services, just as the railroad barons hired them to perform private services. This is detailed in Title 5 USCA and Title 22 USCA. It was this privatization, actually foreign incorporation of government functions, that allowed the federal government, both territorial district and municipal subcontractors, to hire unlimited private agencies and mercenaries as public employees, and which has served to create the unlawful proliferation of agencies and the hiring of the undeclared foreign agents. This is how the American Raj was created, a vast bloated network of unelected, politically appointed, and unaccountable private agencies under contract to provide public services, but with nobody left representing the public interest. The elected officials are all acting in private capacities as officers of foreign corporations, and they then hire foreign agencies to perform public functions as if they were actual public employees. Without any oversight or actual public accountability, cronyism, political self-interest, graft, embezzlement, and extortion have been rampant. So, our subcontractors have hired subcontractors who have hired subcontractors, who have hired subcontractors, and we are paying for it all, and nobody is accountable to us, except the original subcontracting principals, the Pope, the Queen, and the Lord Mayor. This also explains the odd confusion between public and private. Which brings us back to the actual topic of this article. There are two kinds of government employees commonly in evidence: elected officials and commissioned or appointed officers, all operating on a mercenary-for-hire basis. These elected officials are elected, but by whom, and in what capacity? Currently, they are being elected by people who are merely presumed to be shareholders in a bankrupt foreign corporation, people who are unknowingly giving away their proxy to elected representatives and who, in turn, let their victims think that they are actual public officials, when they are not. At least, not our public. The government agents, aka officers, are also hired, but again by whom, by which government, and in what capacity? If you always thought that you were dealing with just one American government, or wondering why they call it a US government, you are in for a big awakening. These fellows swaggering around in fancy uniforms with belts and nightsticks and shiny badges and squad cars aren't actual commissioned officers, because they are not acting under the direct authority of any actual government. They are private police forces instead, subcontractors hired for the protection of the erring foreign corporations. As just one example, the Scottish interloper styling itself as the United States of America, Incorporated created the Department of Justice Incorporated, as a subcontractor, and paid it out of the public purse to defend their own interests. Not only were we pillaged and plundered into near oblivion, but we paid for the cost of the legal defense of the criminals doing it to us. Among all the agencies that need to be dispensed with, the ironically named Department of Justice stands first on the list. A diligent researcher can quickly establish that virtually none of those persons presenting themselves as elected public officials nor as public employees have the natural capacity to act as either one, and they are in fact operating as foreign mercenaries evading the Anti-Pinkerton Act by redefining the nature of the government itself. This is part of the great fraud, fooling us into thinking that we are voting for actual public officials to fill public offices, when in fact we've ourselves been mistaken for shareholders holding shares in bankrupt foreign commercial corporations, voting for proxy holders enabled to dispose of our interests. And the corollary fraud has been to make us think that agents, like the officers employed by the state of Ohio, Incorporated, are valid members of a public police force when in fact, they are Pinkertons, private security personnel hired by foreign corporation franchises. No wonder that they have been smirking on their way to the bank, and talking about their discretion to uphold the public law, or not. And no wonder that police abuses have proliferated. Even though their services are being paid for with public money, these men and women are being misdirected by corrupt foreign commercial corporations, like the Department of Justice Incorporated and the IRS Incorporated, and they are wandering about, armed to the teeth, under color of law, protecting the interests, property, and personnel of these foreign corporations to the detriment of their actual employers. Too many of them are knowingly acting as privateers against the very people they are supposed to be protecting and serving. So, where, you may wonder, is Matt Dillon when you need him? Right where he always was, standing on terra firma, in Dodge City. The actual Americans have returned home, and repopulated the land and soil jurisdiction of this country. They have also taken up their purportedly vacated offices. We now have assembly sheriffs who are bound to enforce the public law, including the constitutional guarantees. These men are enabled to deputize as many people as they need to get the job done. Assembly sheriffs are elected by Americans operating in their proper political capacity. They are the highest elected peacekeeping officials in the country. Yes, they can take out their six shooters and dispense justice the old-fashioned way, and that scares some people, mainly those responsible for all this theft, corruption, and violence. We also have legitimately commissioned federation-level continental marshals to ride the range in international and global jurisdictions. Think of the old U.S. Marshals Service and Rooster Cogburn, but coming from even higher up the totem pole, from the federation level of our American government. Yes, Virginia, there are actual, factual, lawful American elected officials occupying our public offices and upholding our public law. They are still few and far between compared to the foreign corporation lookalikes, but they are back and they are growing in numbers and relearning their authorities. There are also lawful deputies and continental marshals and lawful state assembly militias. Notice that word, lawful? Actual law doesn't have a thing to do with statutes or codes or anything legal at all. It has nothing to do with any legislatures, including any foreign congresses or foreign courts operating illegally and unlawfully on our shores. We are back. And despite all attempts to undermine, demoralize, confuse, or obstruct our progress, we are coming on like a house on fire. See this article and over 3,200 others on Anna Von Wright's website. Support Anna's work using PayPal donation. Remedy. Find out how to stop the plunder, robbery, and piracy. If you really are serious about knowing how to restore the republic and your freedom, you need to put some effort into knowing how our freedoms are being robbed from us by fraud, lack of full disclosure, deception, threat, duress, coercion, and intimidation every day of our lives and have been for over 100 years by the criminals who have hijacked our government, wealth, and heritage for their own gain and evil intentions. Are you really required to file a 1040 income tax form with the IRS? Are you really required to obey draconian codes and statutes issued by the so-called federal government? At Anna Von Wright's website you will learn precisely how Americans have been press-ganged into the foreign international jurisdiction of the sea and have as a result been attached, attacked, and deprived of their rights and property under conditions of fraud, semantic deceit, and non-disclosure. At the American States Assembly you will learn the lawful remedies for these problems and crimes committed against Americans. Remember, there is no statute of limitations against the crime of fraud, and that fraud destroys any contract that it touches.